Who was Rip Van Winkle?
The man who slept for 20 years because his neighbors had no radio.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is horse sense?
Something a horse has that keeps him from betting on people.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It pays to be ignorant. Here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wit, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and a man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we bring you that quiz program which only goes to prove that if you ask silly people silly questions, you get silly answers. First, we have that celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Shop Without Annoying the Sales Girl, or The Hand is Quicker Than the Eye. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a nice old Billy Goat that makes people fit and flutter. It doesn't give much milk or cream, but makes a dandy butter.
A dandy butter, I see.
Or a best seat driver.
Back seat driver, I see. All right, thank you. You have a woman who has so many double chins, you think she's looking at you over a stack of wheat cakes. A woman who got such a raspy voice from gargling her throat with such cleanser, here she is, Miss Lulu McConnell.
How have you known it, Howard? I won a beauty contest once.
You won a beauty contest?
I'll never forget it. They had an officer there. Once I would pass by, the officer would play, Oh, You Beautiful Doll.
Yeah.
And when another girl would pass, they'd play, You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby.
Yeah. What did they play when you passed?
Say it isn't so.
That's right. Very, very appropriate. All right, next we have a man whose father was a sculptor, and he's been a chiseler ever since. A man who has to work because he's too nervous to steal, Mr. George Jump.
Well, you know, Mr. Howard, I visited my old maid's sister last week.
Oh, you have a sister that never got married?
Yeah, she's got a dog that growls, a parrot that swears, a fireplace that smokes, and a cat that stays out all night. What does she need a husband for?
She don't need any at all. I can see what you need. Well, now you've just met the experts, ladies and gentlemen, so keep your opinions to yourself. Here is the first question on tonight's session, see if we can get an answer.
Yes.
Pay attention. Here's the question. What month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Mr. Howell, I didn't hear that.
Why didn't you hear it?
I wasn't listening.
Well, that is a good reason, Mr. Norton. The question is, what month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Well, tell me, is that the song that was dedicated to Miss McConnell?
Where's the connection? Miss McConnell's name is not June.
I know, but she's busting out all over.
If I was half a lady, I'd reject that.
If you were half a lady, you'd be with a circus. Let's get on. The question is, what month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
Who wrote the song, Mr. Howard?
That has nothing whatever to do with the question.
You know, I wrote a song once. I dedicated it to my butcher.
Uh-huh. You dedicated it to your butcher? What was the name of it?
I Got Plenty of Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I used to be quite a singer. Yes, you've heard of the Merry Mac?
Oh, sure.
I was Mac.
You were Mac.
Oh, that's no different. Nice. Oh, the devil is in me tonight.
Yes, I should say he is. Let's get on here. Will you please try and answer the question? I'll repeat it once more. What month is mentioned in the song, June is Busting Out All Over?
You know, I got a sister named June. Yes, she married a guy named August.
She married a guy named August?
Yes. And a funny thing, on the 31st day of August, he got kicked in the head by a mule and he died.
Oh, how come you remember it was the 31st of the month?
Because that was the end of August.
That was the end of August.
The volcano song?
The volcano song?
Yes. Lava, come back to me.
Lava, come
back. Unintelligible.
Those are the things that give radio a bad name.
I used to sing when I worked for the Silvers.
You what?
I used to sing when I worked for the Silvers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had a tremendous obligato.
You still got it.
Yes, he has, but you can't see it when she's sitting down.
All right.
Oh, is that so? A voice like mine you find once in a lifetime.
Yeah, why did you have to find it in our lifetime? Cut it out.
You know, when I sang, Nelson Eddy got terribly worried. Why, when I sang Shortening Bread, you could smell it.
Uh-huh. When you can sing anything, you can smell it. Yeah. question, what flavoring is used in making a chocolate soda? Now, there's a good hot weather question.
Oh, boy, I like hot weather questions.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I went into a drugstore this morning, and I said to the girl, give me a chocolate soda without chocolate ice cream, you see?
I see.
So the girl said, I'm sorry, but I haven't got any chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I told her to give it to me without vanilla ice cream.
Oh, I see. Well, how did you like that?
Well, I didn't like it. I'm sorry I didn't ask for it without strawberry ice cream.
I see. You probably wouldn't have liked the straws. Let's get on there. We're not talking about chocolate sodas, only the flavoring.
What
flavoring?
Wait for a minute. What became of the other question?
What other question?
The one about the hot weather.
There wasn't any question about hot weather.
What do you mean? There certainly was. You said right at the start, here's a hot weather question.
Wait.
Now, don't you deny it, or I'll punch you right in the nose. Now, don't deny it.
That's right, Mr. Howard. You did say that.
Yeah.
I got ears.
You got ears?
Yeah.
Have you got anything between them? I said the question I asked was a hot weather question. The question was not about hot weather.
You know, Mr. Howard, I don't like hot weather.
It's so hot down at our house. I got my old man to bring over a thermometer for the front porch.
A thermometer?
But, yeah, but it's no good.
The thermometer's no good. What's the matter with it?
Well, one day it says 80, next day it says 90. It can't depend on it.
I see. Get to 100,
Sal.
Let's get out of this.
No, kidding. The weather sure is funny. One day it's hot, the next day it's cold.
Yeah.
It's something, I don't know what to hop.
You don't know what to hop. Yes, I'm confused. Listen, you three buffoons, are you going to answer the question?
Oh, Mr. Howard, my word, did you say buffoon? Buffoon. That's a musical instrument, isn't it?
No, that's bassoon.
Oh, no. A bassoon is a big monkey, like a gorilla.
That's baboon.
What are you talking about? A baboon is a big rubber ball. You know, you blow them up.
No. That's a balloon. A big bag of hot air.
Now we're back to Mr. McConnell again.
Shall we come to our contestants? So while Mr. Roberts is getting the folks up, here we go from the ridiculous to the ridiculous. We have an officer who never look at their leader because they can't stand his face. An artist who try to play the classics from memory, but they haven't any memory or any class. Here they are, Dr. Novick and his orchestra.
Our first contestant, Mr. Howard, is Staff Sergeant Michael Ruggiero of the United States Army.
Well, that's fine. Good evening, Staff Sergeant Ruggiero. It certainly is a pleasure, and thanks you a lot for coming up. How do you feel?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. You certainly do look it. You're a swell hunk of soldier, I must say. Well, where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Astoria, Long Island.
Astoria, Long Island. Good old Astoria. Yes, sir. Babies cry for it. Astoria.
Astoria, Long Island. Well, plow me under and call me breathless.
I love you.
I used to work in that town. No kidding. I was a baseball player in a candy factory.
You were a baseball player in a candy factory?
I used to catch flies.
You mean you used to draw flies? Pay no attention to them, Staff Sergeant. They'll go away any minute now. Are you married?
I am.
Oh, you're married.
Oh, you've been in two wars.
You've been
in
two wars.
No, Sergeant, I was in the last war, you know. I was a mess lieutenant.
Well, lieutenant? You mean a mess sergeant?
I do not. I mean a mess lieutenant. Every time the colonel saw me, he said, "Lieutenant, you're a mess."
Please, Mr. McCartney. How long did you say you were in the service?
Well, up until the time I was...
I noticed, Staff Sergeant, there you have quite a lot of ribbons on you there. From here, I can see you've got the Pearl Harbor ribbon and the good conduct. Is that right? And what are those other two?
Campaign ribbon with six battle stars and the Bronze Star Medal.
Well, you've been around. You deserve every bit of that applause. And we are certainly very glad to have you with us this evening.
We sure are. What's your first name, honey?
Mike.
Okay. I will call you Mike.
Yeah, okay.
I just love it, Mike. Don't you like Mike?
Yeah, I like it, Mr.
McCartney. I love it. I mean, that's so much room for it. Yeah, let me see you.
Yeah,
you love it. Oh, I need something, yeah.
Woo!
I don't know, Mike. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can just call me Watermelon. I'm so refreshing.
Yeah. And you're just a sweetie, too. You don't mind us calling you Mike. We're kind of a big family here. Well, you reach into the gun cap there and pick out a question for the experts to kick around. And when you get a hold of one, Mike, just read it right into the microphone, if you will. Take your time.
What musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle?
Thank you. Very good. No help from the audience, please. What musical...
for all the time.
What musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle?
Mr. Hart, you mean violin, don't you?
Mr. McCartan, I mean fiddle.
Oh. Well, what's the difference? Violin or fiddle?
You pay $5 for it, it's a fiddle. If you pay $5,000, it's a violin.
I see.
But I think the violin sounds much better than fiddle.
Whose violin? Whose violin sounds better than whose fiddle?
Now, look, when you stop fiddling around, it's nobody's fiddle.
Oh, it must be somebody's fiddle.
Look.
Here's just only fiddles lying around.
Mr. McCartan just said that violin sounds better than fiddle.
All right. All I said was... Whose violin?
Mr. Shannon, look, let's take it this way. Look, you have a fiddle.
I have where I got it.
Yep. I don't know where you got it. That's not the point.
And how do you know I got it?
I don't know if you got it. It's just a supposition.
I thought you said it was a fiddle.
It is. Why don't you bore a hole in your head and let the sap run out? You started this, Mr. McCartney.
I did, but all I said was that violin sounds much better than fiddle.
Yeah, okay.
Have you got a violin, Mr. McNaughton?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, that's just the point.
Right.
How could you say your violin sounds better than my fiddle if you haven't got a violin?
Look.
And you never heard my fiddle.
Look.
Well, where did you get your fiddle?
Mr. Howard gave it.
I did nothing of the kind.
Can I say something here?
No, please.
Didn't you tell me I had a fiddle? Look at him. You said... You have a fiddle.
That's right. You gave Mr. Sheldon a fiddle, and now you want to take it back, you old Indian giver.
Will you stay out of this, please? When I said you had a fiddle, I was just elucidating.
So what? I'm perspiring myself.
Question.
All I said was...
I know all you said. Violin sounds better than fiddle. Now, forget it. The question is, what musical instrument is mentioned in the old expression, playing second fiddle? Do any of you know anything about musical instruments?
Well, I don't, but I got an uncle in Venice that plays the gondola.
Oh, you don't play the gondola.
You don't?
No, you throw it over your shoulder like a shawl.
Oh, You're as bad as he is, Mr. McNaughton.
I am?
You don't know a thing about musical instruments.
Mr. Howard, I do, rather. I have a whole collection of musical instruments.
Oh, you have? Would you mind naming a few?
With pleasure. I have a clarinet, a trombone, saxophone.
Have you got a fife?
I've got a fife and six kids.
How warm is it?
Our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is a very attractive and charming young lady, pharmacist mate, third class, Florence Chadwick of The Wave.
Very nice. Good evening, Miss Chadwick. We are sure very happy to have you with us. How do you feel, Miss Chadwick?
That's fine.
That's fine. You certainly do look at it. Where is your hometown, Miss Chadwick? Would you care to tell us?
Don't tell him. He's just being nosy.
Well, you cut it out, please. Pay no attention to her, Miss Chadwick. She's just out on a 3-hour pass. You know what I mean? They'll take her back any minute. A man generally calls at this time with a white coat. How long have you been in the service, Miss Chadwick?
Come to mind, you don't do it.
Never mind, but you'll keep quiet. Stop making passes on to the test. How long have you been in the service?
Since last October.
Since last October. I suppose you like it.
I love it.
You do. All the girls come up here and say the same thing. We certainly are glad to have you.
I've got an awful headache.
Never mind. Please. What did you do before you went into service?
I worked at Doubleday Duran Publishing Company.
In what town? Where is your hometown, by the way?
In Floral Park, Long Island.
Floral Park, Long Island. Well, that's great. Floral Park. I don't suppose you knew that Miss McConnell happens to come from Flower Park.
Yes, I did.
Yes, she does. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce down there won't like to hear that, but nevertheless, she did.
They won't like you for saying that.
I see. Okay.
The young lady used to work at a bookshop, Mr. Hart?
In a bookshop, I believe it was, wasn't it?
That's right.
A bookshop.
That's nice enough.
Yes.
You know, yesterday I read a book.
You read a book.
I read the dictionary from cover to cover.
Did you enjoy it?
No. No love interest.
No love interest.
No.
That kind of work is very binding, though.
Cut it out, please. Both of you, will you please hold your tongue? Let's get on here. Let's get on with our friend. The one thing that you work, you lived in Flower Park and you worked in a book binder.
No, sir.
Are you married?
No, sir.
Oh, you're not married? Well, I was just going to ask you how your husband was, but that's out. I can see that.
Well, I think my old man should have $1,000 worth of life insurance.
Your what, Miss McConnell?
My old man took out $1,000 worth of insurance.
Your old man did?
Yeah.
When did he take it out?
Yesterday?
Last week,
I guess it was.
Or was it last week?
I think it was yesterday, but I get confused because it was another time. Something else.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's wonderful, anyway.
Oh, it's
yeah. Telling you to be careful when
he
goes out.
No, he won't have to.
I'll tell him to break his neck.
Right. I'll get out of trouble, Mr.
Howard. Hey, Mr. Howard. Wow. You know, Miss Sagacy reminds me of my girlfriend.
Oh, she does? Yeah.
You have a girlfriend?
Oh, nice girl. Very economical.
Yeah.
She made a dress for herself out of some old drape.
Uh-huh.
I took her to the theater the other night when the orchestra hollered out, curtains going up. She fainted. Wow. If you do us a favor, Miss Sagacy, while you're here, I'll reach into the gun shop and pick out a question for us, please. And when you get one, would you be kind enough to read it right into the microphone, if you will?
How many words are there in a 10-word telegram?
Very good. How many words are there in a 10-word telegram?
Who's the telegram for?
Mr. McNaughton, what difference does that make?
It makes a lot of difference. I mean, there's no sense in the telegram if you don't know who it's for.
Really, Mr. Howard, what did it say?
I didn't get a telegram.
Then how do you expect us to know how many words are in a telegram you didn't get?
Gee whiz, you're the dumbest clock I think I ever met.
The question is, how many words are in a 10-word telegram?
I got a telegram last week on my birthday from my insurance company.
Oh, really, McCullough?
What did it say?
It said,
happy birthday. You fooled us again.
Why did
that tweet?
Yeah, he was. He's awful.
You know, I don't send telegrams. I send postcards. They only cost a cent.
I see.
In France, they only cost 3 cents. And they're worth it, too.
In France, yeah.
Sometimes I send a letter.
Say,
Mr. Howard, I send a letter today. Do you think it'll be in Philadelphia
tomorrow? Why, certainly. Boy, that's funny. Hey, what's funny about it?
It's addressed
to
Chicago.
Why don't you ask your age?
What, and lose my junior G-man bag?
Look, the question is not about letters.
I've been thinking about letters, Mr. Howard. My wife is sore because she found a letter in my pocket this morning.
What'd you do, forget to mail it?
No, I forgot to burn it.
You know the old saying, Mr. McGarney?
What old saying?
Any old saying. It's a lot of them. Pick that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's get on with the question.
Hey,
hold on. If that reminds me, I must write a letter to my friend Emily Spencer out in Hollywood.
Yeah, right over.
Hey, I haven't written for her. Oh, I haven't written a letter in ages.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you wonder what in the world's the matter with.
Yeah, give it
back. I just hate to write. Don't you hate to write letters, Mr. Howard?
Yeah, I
never know what to say.
Look.
You know, but Emily likes to write. She just loves to write letters.
Mr.
She likes pages and pages and pages.
Look, like
she
a
really
sister,
I
mean.
Look.
Will you shut off your ignition before your battery runs out? How many words are in a 10-word telegram?
Have you sent that telegram yet?
The other night I got a telegram, and the man who brought it in had his nightgown on.
Delivering a telegram in his nightgown?
Yeah, it was a night letter.
Reminds me. The lady next door gave me a letter to mail for her, and I still got it in my handbag.
You have? Let's open it. What can you lose?
Oh, I wouldn't do that.
No?
No, I lose my self-respect.
That's what I say. What can you lose?
Thank you.
we're being reminded by our good friend, Mr. Pelosi, that our time is up. So we'll just have to postpone our clam bake until this time next week. Try and be with us. We'd love to have you. Now, here's that reject from the Metropolitan Opera Company to tell you what we mean when we say...
It's time to be insurance.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton and Harry McNaughton, that it pays to be ignorant. Ken Roberts speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio.